I would like to direct your attention this morning to the words which we find at the end of that portion that we read together from Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the second chapter, and particularly the verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verses 15 and 16 we take as our text this morning. We read these things: "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life." The Apostle Paul, as he comes to write again to these Corinthians for the second time, he is concerned, as he was in his first epistle and as he has been every time he has been with them, he is concerned for the glory of God, and he is concerned that Christ might be made known amongst them, that Jesus Christ might be plainly set forth and declared to them. If you turn back just very briefly to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, in the second chapter, he speaks these very bold words at the beginning: "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So such is his theme now, even as he comes to this. And we find in this second epistle that it is full of Christ. And he frequently makes reference to Christ. He frequently gives thanks for Christ, even as he does in the 14th verse here. "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." He is speaking in these verses of the effect which is made by the gospel of Jesus Christ as it goes forth. We read in the scriptures in Isaiah 55, verse 11, how that the word of God, the word which goeth forth from God, will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases. And so we see here, there are two things which take place. As the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth, as the way of salvation from sin in Jesus Christ is presented to men, and every time it is so, to some people, it is the savour of death unto death. But unto others, it is the savour of life unto life. It is my desire on my heart this morning that we consider these things for the time that we have. Properly then, if we come to the words which we find in verse 15, we see something of the effect of the gospel in the soul of the one who believes. And as it were, we see things from heaven. "We are unto God a sweet savour of Christ." And he is speaking as a believer. The believer, the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a sweet savour of Christ to God. My friends, the contrary of this is plain also. One who is not in Christ, for that is the only reason that the believer is a sweet savour to God, one who is not in Christ, one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not trusted in him, for such a one as this, what can we suppose he is to God? Well, surely is an abomination to God. That is to say, it is obnoxious. It is hateful. It is, as it were, a stench to God, the unbeliever. Why is it so? Because all have sinned. This, we are not speaking of any God. We are not speaking of anyone. We are not speaking of a man in a position of great authority. We are speaking of the thrice holy God. We are speaking of a God who is so great, so glorious, so perfect in every way, as that he cannot stand to look on sin. He cannot bear to look on iniquity. And therefore, it is obnoxious to him, hateful, when he sees a sinner. We read in the scriptures that God is angry with the wicked every day, not with the same kind of anger as we express, not with an uncontrolled, unbridled, passionate anger. But nonetheless, there is wrath that is reserved for all such as are found in a natural condition, as sinners before God who go on in such a way. And such were some of us. And yet, there has been a change. For it is possible, though every man is brought naturally up in such a state as this, as all men from birth are in this condition, that they are vile in the sight of God, they are wretched in the sight of God, they are hateful to him because of their sin. Yet we find here, the apostle says these striking words in this light. We, he's speaking of himself and all his fellow believers, we are unto God, this same holy God, a sweet savour of Christ. This cannot be so except by Christ. And so this is a believer's only hope. This is the believer's only righteousness. This is the only way that a man may ever be acceptable before God, is when he stands in Jesus Christ, when he knows Jesus Christ, when he has sought forgiveness, and when he has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and all his finished work on the cross at Calvary. This is the only way that a man may be found to be acceptable before God. The only way that a man may be found to be a sweet savour of Christ to God. Not a sweet savour of himself. That is plain enough. There is nothing of self about the gospel. There is nothing that self contributes to his salvation. There is nothing that a man can ever do to commend himself to God, as was a heresy in times past. There were some who believed that they could somehow make themselves more attractive to God in some way. It cannot be so. It is impossible. Every man, by birth, by nature, is so wretchedly sinful that he cannot in any way do anything to make himself attractive to God. He is wholly an outcast. He is wholly a rebel. His entire nature is set in that direction and cannot be turned from it by any of his own efforts, by anything that he can do. And yet, the power of the gospel is such that in Jesus Christ, a man sees his condition, and yet he sees the Savior that is provided for men, this same Jesus. Then there may be such a change in him, such a turning of the man about. And then, after repentance, after faith, after trusting, he goes on, and yet he is a different man. He stands before God, but he is no longer what he once was. For he does not stand of his own right. He does not stand by himself. He is only alive because of Christ, so to speak. He is only living because of Christ. And therefore, Christ, as it were, is his life. And that in every sense. It is in the spiritual sense, for Christ is his only righteousness before God. But it is also in the outward sense for everything in his life, outwardly. He longs to do everything to the glory of God. Everything that he does in life is bent to this purpose, that he may glorify his God because of all that has been done for him in Christ. And thence we see that this testimony goes forth by the speech and by the life, and the gospel is proclaimed to souls. Believer, have you ever considered this? Your life, the way that you live, under the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a testimony to all those around you of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it may work even to condemn those about you. But we come to these words which we find in the verse 16. The gospel goes forth in such a way as this. Salvation by Jesus Christ alone is proclaimed. Christ is set forth as the only way of salvation. To some, it is the savour of death unto death. What are we to make of this? What does this mean? When we read that the gospel is a savour of death unto death. it means so much as this. Death is certain to every man in the physical sense. It is plain. We all know it very well. From time to time, and increasingly so at times of plagues and troubles of that nature in the world, many souls depart from this life. We see them passing away. And every time we see this, it should be a warning to us. Such a day will surely come to us at some time. It cannot be that we will live forever. No man has ever known that, and no man will ever know that in this world. But death will surely and certainly come to all. You may sit there and think, well, I am young. Perhaps some of you are. You say, well, death is not going to come to me for a long time. I've got a long life ahead of me. I've got many years to enjoy myself. Why do I need to be bothered about this at this time? Can it not wait until a little later and then I can think about it? Will that suffice? Can I just become a Christian at the end? How foolish. But even tonight, the Lord may say, this night is thy soul required of thee. And then what shall be your case? It is not impossible. Look round any graveyard, and you will find enough of those who are young in years, who have been caught away from life, who have suddenly been snatched away, perhaps in least expecting that there was anything wrong with them, that anything was going to happen to them, and yet they have been caught away. People of every age need well to consider their souls. They need well to consider these words here, because they must die in themselves. These bodies must fail. They must cease to function. But if we do not know Christ, there is a worse death to follow. Death is not the end. The death of the body will not result in just everything ceasing and you never knowing anything afterwards. But after death, there is a judgment. After death, we must stand before this holy God. We must stand before such a one as this, who cannot bear the sight of sin, and whose justice dictates that sin must be punished. Even this, a sentence of death, is hanging over you if you know not Christ now. This is the savour of death which is spoken of here. For anyone who does not know Christ, anyone who is not born again of the Spirit, anyone who has not been brought into the kingdom of God, what shall be of them? Well, even now, there is a sentence of death hanging over your head. It is, as it were, and many of the men of old have described it in this way, as though there is a sword that is suspended over your head, and is hanging only by the thread of God's providence. Such a sword as this, at any moment might fall. At any moment, God might decree that it should fall, that your life in this world should be cut off. That sword of God's wrath, the sword of punishment for sins, sins which are unconfessed, sins which are unforgiven, sins which must still be paid for, and yet cannot be paid for, except by an eternity of suffering in hell, if there is no salvation sought before death. Even this is hanging over you. Even as you know and experience as time passes, the body becoming more frail, and it evidences of the death to come. Do you not have the pricks of conscience from time to time, warning you and seeking to bring about in your mind some thought of this, that surely there is a sentence of death hanging over you, that surely you have a taste of it now? There is discontent with this world. There is some unhappiness in this world. And yet, you will not see the greater unhappiness that all this points to, the greater trial, the greater tribulation, the greater affliction by far, which must be your lot, if Christ is not sought now. not only a savor of death, but it is unto death. This worse still. Not only is this all just a taste of it, not only is it just the smell, as it were, of death, not just the precursor to it, not just merely a scent of it, but surely that which leads further, if nothing is done about it, to death itself. Even a savor of death, a savor of the awful condition of your soul, a savor, as something of a smell or a taste, as it were, of something of your standing before God. This may yet serve to your warning. This may serve even to cause you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope yet. One need not despair because one sees oneself to be so wretched. One need not despair because one sees oneself to be a sinner. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But if you continue in such a state, if you are content just to carry on, to think, well, sure, conscience is afflicting me from time to time. I'm troubled occasionally because I do something that's wrong. Occasionally I feel bad because I've done such and such, which I should never have done. Sometimes conscience troubles you, perhaps. Oh, do not put it down. Do not ignore it. Do not let it pass you by. Do not ignore it and try to crush it in your mind and put it off and say, oh, I won't bother about that now. My friends, that is the mercy of God that is being shown towards you in your conscience to awaken you from this. You see, every man who has sinned, if he continue in his way, if he continue on sinning against God, if he continue on and he seeks nothing to help him, as it were, he seeks no remedy, he is like a man who is bleeding to death, who is merely talking, perhaps, about all the remedies that there might be, all the bindings that might be placed upon his wounds to stop the flow of blood. And yet he never seeks to do anything for himself. He never seeks to do anything about it. But the blood continues to flow. What will become of that man? Surely he would bleed to death. There can be nothing for it. But let it not be of your soul this morning that you have left it to this state. There is blood flowing, but perhaps you are so numbed. You have put down your conscience so many times that you can scarcely tell that the blood is pouring forth from you. What must be done? Hear the word of the Lord. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. And death will surely come to such a man as who fails to look to his own soul, to care for it, to seek salvation for it. This is the condition, and this is why this savor of death may be unto death. And so it is described here as the gospel going forth and being a savor of death unto death. And yet, so long as it is still a savor that comes to you this morning, as long as there is still life in you, you will know nothing of that death. But be warned of this, that if you continue, that death is certain. There is nothing that will put it off. There is nothing that can stop it. There is nothing that can hinder it from coming to you. There is no church going that will ever stop it. There is no pretense of making prayers that will ever stop it. There is no hope of having done enough that's right to stop it. There is nothing except for Christ that can stop you from plunging into an awful eternity. Unto death. Let it be so with none of you, that your negligence of your soul, your carelessness about your soul which will never die, has caused you to come even to hell. And yet, so long as there is but a savour of death. So long as you see yourself to be sinful, and yet, my friends, have you no concern for your souls? I could digress further to speak of the nature of that death, but time will not allow for this morning. Suffice to say, it is awful. Some speak of hell so lightly. They speak of it very loosely. They almost feel as if it is some trivial place that they can speak of and use in their language. They may even use it to describe their condition on earth. These things are vulgar. Have no light view of hell. Have no small view of the terror of it, of the sufferings of it. I often say, a man may think that his worst afflictions in this world are like hell to him. But even if man could invent for himself the cruelest and the worst instrument of torture, as you may find so many men have done in times past, in persecution, invented instruments of torture, cruel ways to inflict punishment upon a man. Even if you were to be subjected to that, it would be nothing in comparison to the suffering of hell. The very worst of suffering that you may have in this world, the worst of trouble, the worst of affliction, simply cannot be compared with the suffering of a man if he finds himself sent away, punished from the merciful presence of God to experience his wrath and anger forever. Do not think lightly of it. But we must pass on. There are, sure, those who are found as the gospel goes forth, and the gospel is to them a savour of death unto death. But observe this also. This very same gospel, this same word, this same Christ, whilst he is a savour of death unto death to some, yet he is a savour of life to others. And here is glorious promise. Here is great hope. Because though one may at the present, and the word may come this morning to some soul as a savour of death, yet it may not be entirely unto death. But see what is here, and consider your own soul. Is it so with you this morning, that as the gospel of Jesus Christ, you hear it, as you hear of Christ, what is it to you? Is it a savour of death? Or is it a savour of life? What must it be? It must be one of these two. My dear friends, if you stand and you say, well, it is neither to me, I care not for it this morning, I fear it will prove at the last to be a savour of death unto death to you. But there is yet time. You have yet life and breath. And my friends, I declare to you this morning, by the word of God, there is yet hope. This word may yet be to you a savour of life unto life. It was a good question, and one we do well to ask ourselves. And as I ask of you this morning, what think ye of Christ? This will be the test of your eternity. This will be the test by which you will be judged at the last. What is Christ? Can you stand and say with the apostle, to me to live is Christ. Christ to me is all in all. The savour of life unto life. What is this life? Well, it is perhaps just as those who believe not have but a savour of death for now. We likewise have a savour of life for now. And yet just as the death which shall come to those who continue with a savour of it, who continue without Christ in this world, just as their death shall be so much worse than they supposed, so much worse than anything in this world, yet so it works to the contrary. For the believer in Jesus Christ, surely it shall be found so that he has a savour of life now. He has a taste of glory. He has a taste of heaven now. But he shall not ever realise it in full until he is in glory itself. And then how he shall find It far surpassed all his best hopes, all his best joys. It far surpassed everything in this world that ever he had been pleased with. And it was so much to him that he could not tell. Joy unspeakable and full of glory shall be his on that day. Then he shall know it in full, what he has seen only in part for now. This life now, sure, it is not necessarily an outwardly happy life. It is not a life which is just merely one which goes through all his days without any trouble, without any trial, without any problems. It is not a problem-free way of life. Some try to miserably sell the gospel in this way. So much as to say that if one just has enough faith, all will be well with you in the world. You will never have another problem again. You will never have another sickness. You will never have any more problems. But this is entirely contrary to the scriptures. In this world, you shall have tribulation. It is plain enough for all to see. In this world, we may have many troubles, many distresses, many griefs. We are not spared, as Christian people, I speak, from all the troubles of this world. We're not spared from outward problems. We're not spared from having disappointments. We're not spared from finding ourselves in such grief and anguish. What is it then? What is the savor of life now? Is it just that we have a person who is dear to us? I do not wish to play that down in any way at all. But my friends, in this life, in this world, we have such a glorious hope who trust in Christ. In the world, there is nothing but hopelessness, despair, and dejection at the last. On the deathbed, there is often to be found in a man of the world nothing but grief, despair, and misery. Miserable life now coming to a miserable end. No happiness, no hope, no joy in that. The best that his friends can give him counsel in, the best hope that they can give him is to perhaps try to remind him of some joys that he's had, carnal joys, I emphasize, of this world that he's had throughout his life. And this, little enough to a dying man. But a believer, he has hope. It was Wesley who said, "Our people die well." What he meant by this was, they die with a hope. They die almost rejoicing. They must, perhaps some of them have fears as they must pass through the veil. And yet, nonetheless, they have a confident assurance. They have a glorious hope of Jesus Christ. What? For he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that gives them hope now, because they have not condemnation to look forward to. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And there can be none held against them at the last. It is impossible that there should be any condemnation for them. It is impossible that there should be any punishment. For Christ has borne all their sins on the cross. And yet for now, whilst we have that comfortable assurance, we have a hope in this. We trust in God in this life, and therefore we ought, we do well to rejoice, because we believe in God. Well, who is God? He is great. He is omnipotent. He is a sovereign Lord. His plans and his paths cannot be crossed. His ways are set forth, and plainly so. There cannot be any failing of his ways. If we are beloved of such a God for Christ's sake, how can it be that there can be any evil design against us? How can it be that anything can be anything short of well in this world? And surely one who knows Christ, even though perhaps the worst of tragedies has just occurred, yet one asks, "Is all well with thee?" The bold reply may be, "Sure, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well betwixt me and my God." Therefore, I may go on with boldness. It is not life in the sense of the world's idea of life. It is not life in the sense of an enjoyment of worldly carnal pleasures. These are all outward. We all know very well that these pass very quickly. They last for a short period and then they are gone. They come to an end. They leave us feeling unfulfilled and perhaps just merely craving for more of it and more of it and more of it. And sometimes we can just try to live our lives going from one distraction to another. Pleasure seekers, going from one attractive thing to another. Just trying to find fulfillment and some kind of satisfaction. Some kind of happiness that will last for more than a few minutes. Well, here it is, my friends. This is what you are seeking for. You are looking for it in the world. You are looking for it in the wrong place. Looking for it, even with a savor of death. Until that savor of death is turned to a savor of life, there will be no happiness. There will be no joy. And yet in Christ Jesus, then you will have such glory, such hope, such joy, because having Christ, your sins will be cleared. Your soul will, as it were, be set free from the shackles of sin and Satan. And then you will stand complete in Christ at the last. My friends, how does this word find you this morning? How are you to be found with this? Jesus Christ is set forth as the Savior who came into the world to save sinners, the Son of God coming down from heaven. What will it be at the last to you? Will it be this morning? It has been a savor of death, even unto death for you. God grant that it may not be so. God grant that it may be so with you, that these things may prove to be a savor of life unto life, and that you may find life and salvation in Jesus Christ, if you know nothing of it to this day. Well, may the Lord bless these things to our souls, grant salvation and newness of life to lost souls, for Christ's sake. Amen.